If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. We continue our series in this gospel by Luke the physician. Let me have a word of prayer as we settle our hearts this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, you brought us here this morning for a purpose. I know that because we're breathing. And it's by your grace that we're still here. For some, they need to hear the message of the gospel for salvation this morning. Holy Spirit, do a work in their lives. Draw them. Father, draw them to yourself. For a large group of people here, Lord, we're here to learn more about Jesus so that we can walk out of here changed. Not because our circumstances will change, but because you are King and you save. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, all God's people said, amen. There is no greater need in all of the world than the forgiveness of your sin, my sin. And it's found in Jesus Christ. In Paul's letter in Ephesians chapter 1, the great introduction to this letter, Paul addresses to the church in Ephesus, or the churches in Ephesus, all these spiritual blessings that every follower of Jesus Christ has in Christ. And as an introduction, I want you to learn this, because this is what will give you joy this morning. But in one of the in hymns, in his great introduction, he says this: in him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. This very truth we find in the Bible through Jesus Christ should change everything about your life. Today, in our passage this morning, it's a good reminder of that. And I hope you're encouraged this morning. You know, as just an introduction as well, in Luke chapter 1, we read Luke's purpose by which he wrote this gospel. And I just want to refresh your memory. Paul writes, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of things, meaning there are other gospels in circulation, I've comprised these things just so those who from the beginning, who were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, have delivered them to us. And it seemed good for me also, having followed all things very closely. He was a physician, very particular about the times past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. So Luke writes this gospel so that we can learn a lot about Jesus. We know that Luke is telling the truth, how things happened. But more so than that, he is concerned to tell us the truth for a particular reason. So in our passages this morning in Luke chapter 5, 12 through 26, we're going to learn about two people that Jesus healed. Now the stories are important about how Jesus healed, but there is always an underlining reason for Jesus healing someone. And I want you to get the understanding that it really comes down to Christ and his forgiveness of sin. So the heart of the passage we're going to read this morning, I'm going to break it up into two sections, is more than just two miracles. The heart of the passage is to teach us about this forgiveness. Luke makes mention of this in verse 24, just as a reminder. This is the key verse, or the key passage that we'll be studying this morning. Look at verse 24 with me as I just jump ahead real quick. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. This morning, as we look at this passage, I want you to consider this. Who can fix the mess you're in? The mess caused by sin. Who's going to fix it? The Sunday school answer is what? Jesus. Isn't the answer always Jesus? But Luke wants us to really think long and hard about this question because, frankly, it's not going to matter to you very much if you don't see how desperately you need Jesus this morning. These two stories of these two men clearly show us how desperate they are for Jesus in their lives. They need Jesus, do you? Do you desperately need Jesus this morning in your circumstances? Do you understand, like these men, that we need Jesus this morning? So two things I want to point out from these two miracles. And I want to read the verses 12 through 16 to begin. The first one is Jesus cleansing the leper. Follow along with me as I read God's word. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and Jesus charged him to tell no one, but to go and show himself to the priest and to make an offering of the cleansing as Moses commanded, for his proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he withdrew to a desolate place and prayed. Now this section is not so much about Jesus healing a man with a disease as it much is about what this disease represents. See, here leprosy represents someone with sin. Now, it's not because the person sinned that he has leprosy, but because we live in a fallen nature, people will have diseases. This man was stricken with leprosy. And this is to represent sin to all of us who would be reading. Now, how do I know that? Well, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for leprosy literally means to be stricken by God. The very condition of man pictures all of our conditions before God. In the Old Testament law pertaining to lepers, and to paralyzed people, we can read in Numbers chapter 5 and Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, we are told that lepers needed to be outside of the community of God because of their disease. They could not come into the cities. They couldn't have contact with any of God's people. And they could not come and worship God. They were excluded. Now, if a priest, and we read these in Leviticus 13 and 14, if a priest deemed someone as leprous, they had leprosy, then you completely isolated them. They were put torn clothes on top of them and to cover their faces, and they had to cry out if anybody was around, "Unclean, unclean." You had to yell that so people knew exactly why you were in the condition you were in. So what about this leprosy? What can we learn? If this is a picture of sin, what does leprosy have to do with sin? Well, let me make this comparison to you. First of all, this. Leprosy knows no boundaries. See, someone in the Old Testament day, or even the New Testament day, who had leprosy, it didn't matter what race you were, what occupation you had, what sex you were, what social status you had. If anyone had leprosy, they were forced to live in a separate community. Leprosy knew no boundaries. So if you were to look at Joe from accounting, and he has leprosy, he no longer is Joe from accounting. He's Joe with leprosy. As it is with our sin. See, the Bible tells us we're all sinners. Sin knows no race. Sin knows no occupation or sex or social status. We are all sinners before a holy God. Isn't that what Romans chapter 3 tells us? We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we see leprosy knows no boundaries and sin knows no boundaries. What else do we learn about leprosy? Well, we know that it's not just an outer disease, meaning you just don't see that someone has leprosy because of what's going on the outside. We know that because in Leviticus chapter 3 or 13 verse 3, as you would read about the account of leprosy, we would know that it's the disease is more than just skin deep, or it is more than just a surface skin lesions. It literally goes into your nerves. It affects the very inner part of you. Like it is our sin, right? It's not just the outward demonstration of your sin that causes you to be a sinner, but it's the very inner part, the very thoughts that you have. Jesus tells this to the Pharisees because they saw their outward doing as a sign to God of their holiness, yet God made it very clear they were sinners because of what was going on the inside. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. Jesus said, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery." That is an outward sign. Many of you in here could say, "I've never committed adultery." Yet Jesus, going to the very inside, the heart of someone, he says, "But I say, this is the new law. If anyone or everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery," where? In the heart. See, like leprosy, it's not just an outward appearance, but an inward disease. Sin is an inner disease that affects all mankind. Nobody can be without that knowledge. The next one is that leprosy alienates you. In Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46, we see this alienation. He shall remain, this is what the priest would tell the leper. He would say, you shall remain unclean as long as you have the disease. You are unclean. And you will live alone. Your dwelling shall be outside of the camp. So how is leprosy like our sin? Well, our sin alienates us from God. Look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 with me. "But your iniquities," my iniquities, "have made a separation between me and God. And my sins have hidden his face from me so that that he does not hear." I want to make it so personal because it is. And I hope it is to you. But your sin alienates you from God. Leprosy declares you as unclean. We just read it in that verse, but look at verse 45 of Leviticus. It says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes," as I read before, "and he cries out, 'Unclean, unclean.'" You are declaring how unclean you are. Just like sin, right? Look at Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 with me. "We have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. We will all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul makes this illustration. He says, "Do you not know that unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers, will not inherit the kingdom of God." You see We are separating ourselves because of sin. And then finally, real quick, leprosy is absolutely disgusting. It is not a pretty disease. It is very ugly. And so is our sin. As you look at the cross and you see the passion of Christ, you see the ugliness of our sin. You know, as we come closer to Easter, it's always a good time to reflect on that. But as Christians, we should reflect on that every day. See, we are the leprous man. We need forgiveness. And here's the hope. Jesus wants to make us clean. The leper, as we read in this passage, he knows he has a need. Do you see that? He goes to Jesus, "Lord, if you will make me clean." He knows that only Jesus can heal him. He simply says, "Lord, I know this. I know this. This is absolutely certain that you, Jesus, can make me clean." He doesn't walk up to Jesus and say, "You know, Jesus, would you make me clean? Could you make me clean?" Isn't that extraordinary? The faith of this man. Look at how Jesus responds. "I will. I want to. I will be clean." Listen, the fact of the matter is, another part of this is that Jesus reached out, stretched out his hand, verse 13 says, and touched the man. Now again, if you were to read Leviticus 13 and 14, learning about leprosy, it was absolutely unheard of for a priest to touch a leper. Because instantly, if you touched a leper, you would be unclean. So all the priest would do is he would look at the person and say, "Yep, you got it. I'll see you in 7 days. You come back in 7 days, and I'll see if it's gone. If it's not gone, you're gone again." Now, the priest's job was just to verify. Why is that important? Because Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the man. Now, you got to imagine, as Jesus was reaching out his hand, all the people were going, "No, no, 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 don't do it, Jesus, don't do it. Don't you dare touch that guy." But do you understand why Jesus does? Because he can make you clean. And Jesus touching this man will not make him unclean. See, that's why Jesus is greater than the priest. He is our high priest. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 with me real quick. Now, the point of what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. That's our God. Jesus reached out and he touched the man. And what happened? He became clean. So what is Luke trying to tell us from this leprous man? Listen, Jesus can do what no priest can do. A priest would have been instantly declared unclean by his action, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. A priest cannot cleanse a man. A leper is healed of his leprosy not when he goes to the priest. The priest just verifies it. But going to Jesus can make you clean. That's what Luke's trying to tell us here. Jesus offers forgiveness. Jesus is declaring to us, our need for forgiveness. We are this leprous man. Do you want to be clean this morning? Listen, sin is affecting our life, is it not? The question is are you going to stay away? Or are you going to go to Jesus? Brother and sister, go to Him. Don't be ashamed of what you've done. There are consequences to our sin, but Jesus aims to clean us. Like the leprous man, only Jesus can cleanse us of our sins. I love 1 John 1:9, for if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive. Do you want to be clean this morning? Listen, some of us in this room, or some of you in this room, I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins unto salvation. But some of you are still unclean. And you are outside of worship. You are outside of the community of God. And you cannot worship Jesus in spirit and in truth without Jesus doing a saving work in your life. You are the leprous man in that you are still in the community. You are still in your sin because you have not asked Jesus to clean you. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should understand our ugliness of sin like a leper and thus go for a regular cleaning unto sanctification. Let's look at the second miracle here. As we see this forgiveness of sins, this need for forgiveness, what do we learn? What is Luke trying to tell us in the second miracle of this paralyzed man? Let me read to you. On one of the days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some of the men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because the crowds were so big, he went up to the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Yeah, duh. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know," this is the key verse, "that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." All God's people should say amen. And he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had lying on the ground and went home, glorifying God, making Jesus famous. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen an extraordinary thing today." So I'm just going to draw out a couple things just from that passage. There's several things, but I'm drawing out just a couple. Luke uses the phrase of Jesus, Son of Man. Now, this is a popular phrase. It's used 26 times in the gospel. This is the first time in the gospel of Luke that he used this title. Now, it is a favorite title of Jesus. When Jesus refers to himself, he refers to himself as the Son of Man. Why is that? Well, you'd have to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7, but look up on the screen and I'll read them to you. Daniel refers to this in Daniel 7, verses 13 through 14, 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came, the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. And to him was given, listen to, this is Jesus, and to him, Jesus, was given dominion and glory, a kingdom that all peoples, all nations, all languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall be destroyed, shall not be destroyed. We read that David is making this picture of the authority that the Son of Man would have, and Jesus has this authority. And so what Jesus is teaching us from this miracle of raising a paralyzed man is this, that Jesus, not only for those of us who have a need for forgiveness, which should be everyone here, but what he is saying is Jesus has the authority to forgive. So you go to him because he is God. He is the Son of Man. At this point, the Pharisees, who are teachers of the law, should have been on their faces before God. I mean, they would have been studying passages like Isaiah 35, which talked about the Messiah would come and heal the blind. He would heal the lepers. And here we see Jesus doing that very thing, raising lepers, or cleaning lepers, and raising the paralyzed. He's right in front of you. What were they waiting for? They never saw themselves in need. See, what Luke is trying to address to both the Pharisees and any person who would not come to Jesus is you never see your need for forgiveness. That is the epitome of pride. See, unlike the leper and unlike a paralyzed man, they never saw themselves in need of God's forgiveness. These men bring a paralyzed man to Jesus because they know he can heal. The response to this is rise and walk. What's the purpose of that? Other than a demonstration to the people who are there, the effects of God's forgiveness. See, when Jesus offers forgiveness and you receive his forgiveness, you are changed. Or you should be. See, when we look at this paralyzed man, we should see how we should be before God. That as he causes us through his forgiveness to rise and tell the people of God's mercy and grace. Some of you might be thinking this morning, Greg, I've crossed the line. I've sinned in ways that I just can't tell anybody. I'm going to places in my Christian life where no Christian has ever gone. I've done things in life that aren't just very Christian. And Greg, my sin is putting me beyond what God can do. I feel ostracized. I feel alone. I feel like no one can help me. And I say to you, look at the leper, the outcast. Jesus touched him. And Jesus wants to touch you. Jesus says, I forgive you. rise up and walk. And you will go away glorifying God. So what Luke's telling you? Luke's telling us we have a need for forgiveness today, don't we? Would all of us acknowledge before a holy God we are in need of His forgiveness because of our sin? We need Jesus to clean us. Luke is telling you that there is no sin beyond the point of Jesus' reach. That should give us hope this morning. Within your marriage, within any relationship you have, if you are willing to go to Jesus because of your need of forgiveness, because you acknowledge your sin before a holy God, He will cause you to rise up and walk, to follow Him, to glorify Him. You just have to acknowledge your need. What are we running away from? Why are we running away from the one who can heal? You look at the Pharisees and you look, and we're going to see six times throughout Luke where he specifically addresses the Pharisees, the Sadducees, because of their absolute pride and having no need of change. And some of you are in that situation right now. As followers of Jesus Christ, you are comfortable in your sin. You are comfortable in the way you treat people. You are comfortable in your sin. You are comfortable because you are in no need of God's forgiveness. And thus you are not glorifying God, but you are glorifying yourself. How's that working for you? More so that, how is it working for you around the people around you? Listen, if we would just come to Jesus on a daily basis as one who knows they have leprosy, as one who knows that without Jesus I can't walk. What a difference that would make in the world around us. Let me tell you what would happen. Verse 26. And amazement seized them. And they glorified God and were filled with awe. Doesn't that sound like a good time? My prayer is that we would, if we are truly demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit as followers of Jesus Christ, we would see ourselves as lepers, we would see ourselves as paralyzed, and realize that we are not out of the reach of Jesus Christ. And there is great joy there. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You. Through the healing of a leprous man and through the raising of a paralyzed man, Lord, we see our great need. Our need for forgiveness, for You to make us clean, and for to really have hope. Jesus, only You can give hope. Genuine hope. Apart from circumstances. God, You know every person in this room. You know how sin has affected their lives. And they only need to go to You. They only need to go to You like a leprous man. They only need to go, and You will reach out Your hand because of Your faith, because of Your faithfulness. You can clean them. You can clean us. Restore a joy of our salvation. And then, Lord, like the paralyzed man, we can rise up and tell the world of the miracle of the forgiveness of sin. You are a good God. And Jesus, thank You. for the work on the cross, for salvation in you alone. For all God's people said, please stand. You know, I got to thinking, you know, I imagined in the leprous community, they weren't just all sitting around going, man, his leprosy is really bad compared to my leprosy. Do you see the other person's sin worse than yours? Isn't that the reason why it's so hard to forgive somebody? Because they're such horrible, leprous people. Christians should be, true followers of Jesus Christ should be the most thankful people on the planet. Because they realize how much they've been forgiven. Do you see how that spreads out to the people around you? To your spouses, to your friends, to your coworkers? You're not looking at them as worse than you. You are saying, I know someone who can help us all. That's why Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, as Christ has forgiven us, so you forgive others. You see how this works? Well, let's see it played out in the rest of your day. God bless you, and have a great day.